Thank you, everybody, for greeting him. Ibrahim, I turn it over to you.
Well, it seems that so much cycles back to Aubrey's group. It seems that Aubrey, you always had a group for the last 52 years or so, or longer.
That's true.
Because my wife, Sherry, or we call her Cher, was in Aubrey's group a couple of years even before I came to California. Mm-hmm. And then my wife, Cher, was also in your group. So, I don't know, maybe 6 years ago, she helped teach Enneagram.
Yes.
For that group. And now I'm cycling back, and now I'm with Sindari and Aubrey again, in yes. Aubrey's group. Mm-hmm. And Sindari, you were in Aubrey's group going way back when also?
Well, way back when, but I was even living, no, yeah, I was in your group first, and then Aubrey's group first, and then Weiner. Then we lived, I mean, I lived for about a year with Aubrey. And
my wife, Sherry, did also.
And then I visited you folks in Pacific Grove very often when you were there.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
How wonderful.
Long flow.
Yes. Well, I'll begin my story, which goes back to when I was in college. I took LSD for the second of three times that I took it in college. And I had an experience of cosmic oneness, infinite oneness of being, of consciousness. No separation. So it's that although separation of objects seems the most obvious thing to us, I knew that there was a transcendent oneness, a transcendent separateness. But at the same time, there was separateness. Everything was uniquely beautiful. Everything was divinely one. And there was a divine no-thingness when I closed my eyes, blissful nothingness. And I knew that I had no fear, no need to fear death, because what my essence is, my substance is, was that infinite oneness. And I could never be other than that oneness. And so that experience certainly changed my life, and I became a mystic after that. And for the next years, I went to a college, an experimental college where I could study whatever I wanted, independent study. So I studied mysticism of all world traditions. And I found that whether I read the Upanishads or Zen Buddhist scriptures or Christian or Jewish or Islamic mysticism, everywhere the mystic spoke of the one in a different language, different belief systems, but I could tell that they were all speaking of the omnipresence that I experienced. So then I had some evidence that what I had was not just a dream or a drug-induced delusion, but it was something that was very deep. And then my next period was meeting spiritual teachers. And the very first spiritual teacher, a mystic that I met, was Claudio Naranjo. Mm-hmm. And we met at we had joined an experimental PhD program where they had no campus, but they had a requirement to have what they call a colloquium, a retreat for 2 or 3 weeks. And it happened that Claudio Naranjo was a member of that PhD program, and he needed to join a colloquium. And we went to the same colloquium, and we turned out to be roommates for 2 weeks. And I told him of my mystical experience with LSD, and he told me of his many mystical experiences And then he said that he was starting a group in Berkeley, California, and he invited me to move to California to join his group. And I joined his group together in 1971, and that's where I met my wife, Cher. And then Claudio brought or invited other spiritual teachers to work with our group for a short time. And he invited a British mystic named Rashad Field, who was the last of the teachers that he had meet our group. And I knew that Rashad Field was our next spiritual teacher, and he was involved in Sufism, of a very westernized type of Sufism. And we worked with him in Mexico, in a small Aztec village. And then he started an institute in Los Angeles. Mm. Now, Rashad had a Turkish Sufi teacher who took the group to Konya in Turkey, which is the burial place of Jalaluddin Rumi. And he met a sheikh of the Rumi order called Mevlevi order. And then years later, when Rashad came to California, in Los Angeles, he started an institute. He invited this Turkish sheikh to come to California. And the sheikh came, and I was initiated as a whirling dervish by the sheikh, because the Mevlevi tradition is also known, more famously known as the whirling dervish tradition. And Rashad had taught us to whirl, some of us men and women, to whirl once a week when he led his Sufi chanting. So we had been whirling for almost a year before the sheikh came from Turkey. And when he came, he was delighted to find that we had been learning to whirl. And he taught us the famous whirling prayer ceremony. And we did that with the sheikh. So that's how I became a Rumi dervish. And then the next year, Cher and I traveled to Turkey. We went to Konya and met the sheikh. As it happened, we with disappointment, we were unable to connect heart to heart with the sheikh. But what I connected with was Rumi's tomb. I felt that it was a place of divine mercy, and I called it a fountain of divine love. And Rumi's tomb has been my path ever since. That time we went, it was in 1977 together. Then years later, in 1999, I met my next Sufi teacher. It was a Turkish Mevlevi from Istanbul, a sheikh in his 90s. And I became initiated, and I became his dervish. But my path has not been, well, I was disappointed that I wasn't able to be the disciple of a master for a period of years. My contacts with spiritual teachers and mystics were more brief. But overall, my main contact connection has been with Rumi's tomb. I've been there to Konya, Turkey, 21 times, I counted. And I go there and I stand in front of Rumi's tomb. And my consciousness has changed. And then I have beautiful, beautiful encounters with people. And the state that I'm in there lasts for a couple of weeks, but usually fades after I've been back in the States a couple of weeks. But that's been my path, and it all has to do with this English mystic being invited to Buddy Naranjo's group in Berkeley, California. And then I said that since we disappointingly did not connect with the Sheikh in Konya, we went on to travel to India, to the called the Chishti Sufi order, and I met Chishti dervishes and the Sheikhs, and also the tombs. The tombs radiated divine love of a very similar quality as Rumi's tomb.
Interesting.
So I've always valued the teaching. It says that we need a source of higher spiritual energy than we're able to connect with ourselves. And that could be a master, it could be a group, it could be a place, it could be a method. But for me, it's been mainly Rumi's tomb. So, Rumi has been, I've been a very Rumi-centered person. About 1980, I began teaching myself Persian, to read Rumi in the original Persian. And I've translated, I have a website, published books, all on Rumi. In December, I assisted a Turkish woman scholar in writing a book about Rumi's son. And that was published in December. And presently, I just emailed in my manuscript of my second edition of the Quatrains of Rumi. I worked for many years with an Afghan scholar in translating nearly 2,000 quatrains of Rumi.